So if the recording is in progress, I guess we better get started. So we're going to study this morning a little bit about prophecy. You might want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Prophecy is a very interesting subject. And very often people ask the question, not only where are we, but more importantly, where are we going? And as I mentioned already, in the light of the events in the world today, especially in the Middle East, people are asking questions. What about this country, Israel? What about the neighboring Arab countries around them? What about the Palestinians? What's it all mean? Where's it going? And so prophecy is a big subject. And some of us in our Seekers class have been spending a little bit of time on prophecy over the last few weeks downstairs. I'm going to continue on the theme of prophecy this morning. And I guess if there's a title for what I'm going to say this morning, it would be something like this: The Flood, a prophetic prefigurement. The flood was an event that took place a long time ago. Some people suggest that, in fact, it never did happen. And there's a lot of scientific evidence out there, in fact, that it did happen. But people who don't want to acknowledge the truth of the Bible say that it did not happen. But the evidence is pointing more and more to the fact that there was a significant flood. A lot of people marvel. The Bible says that there was a flood on the earth, and it happened about, 4,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago? And the Bible says it was all over the world. And people say, come on, that could never happen. But actually, you know, and I've told you this story before, that there are evidences from the Aboriginal societies of the world that this, in fact, did happen. There was a flood that happened, and it was a worldwide flood, or certainly was a flood that people say happened in our part of the world. And if you don't believe it, then I suggest you get on the gondola on your way to Squamish next time. Go up the hill to the I'm not sure what it is, the Squamish Outlook or whatever. And when you get to the top, there's a plaque there that tells you about the tradition that was handed down to the Native Indian peoples here in British Columbia. And their story goes like this, that there was a time when there was a great flood here in the Lower Mainland. And the flood was so great that it extended all the way up to the top of, I think it was, what's the name of that mountain up there? What did you say? What? Okay, the mountains, Mount Baker and Mount Garibaldi. And you see, the natives who were here hundreds of years ago actually believed that in their past, there was a flood that went all the way up to the top of Garibaldi and Baker and a lot of the other mountains. How could that possibly happen? How could it be that all over the world there are stories like that, if in fact there wasn't a worldwide flood? The Bible says there was a worldwide flood. And so we're going to learn a little bit this morning about the worldwide flood. And we're going to learn a little bit about the prophetic picture that is included in the worldwide flood. Why would the Lord tell us about a flood? And the answer is that he promised that he would never again destroy the world with a flood. But he does tell us that he's going to send fire next time. Global warming is a strange thing. But the Bible says that it's going to get really hot. And the world is going to be destroyed, not by fire, going to be destroyed by, sorry, not by water, going to be destroyed by a flood. Well, Genesis, book of Genesis. And just to refresh your memories, some of you will know this story well, others will not, but we'll just get a few elements of the story, and then we will see if we can put it into a picture form so you can learn from the picture of the flood. One of chapter 6 of Genesis says, "And it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born unto them. Sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. They took them wives of all which they chose." And verse number 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That's a pretty amazing indictment. We're getting to that point now, aren't we? Yeah, have you noticed that there's more evil evident in the world today than there was 20 years ago? If you're old like me, you'd say more evil than there was evident a whole lot earlier than 20 years ago. What's happened? And the answer is that as it was in the days of Noah, so it is today. Things are going from bad to worse. And they got to the point where every imagination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. We're not far from that. Verse 6. "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's a marvelous verse, isn't it? Lots of problems, and the problems are going to bring forth the judgment of God. The judgment of God in our day has been deferred, but it has not been forgotten. It's just been deferred. It is going to come. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so this story is a wonderful story because the logic goes like this. If Noah could find grace in the eyes of the Lord in the day in which he lived, which was evil like our day, so it would be possible, hopefully, for us to find grace in the eyes of the Lord today. All right. Well, we'll just read a few more verses, and then we'll try to go back and explain. Verse 7 says, "And the Lord said," chapter 7, verse 1 says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou, and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." And he says in verse 4, "Yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." So that's the story. And if you read the whole chapter, you'll find that the flood came and it covered the highest mountains, and it was on the earth. The waters were there for 150 days, and then it began to dry up, and things got a little bit better. Just wondering, Josh, could you just go upstairs and close that window? Thank you. There's a window that's open to the auditorium. Just slide it closed. Thank you. All right, so it happened. There was a judgment. There was a flood. What can we learn from that flood? And so I want you to go back now, but this is a background. I want you to go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2. We read two things about, we read one thing, I guess, about Noah this morning. We read that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How do we find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Galatians chapter 2. sorry, Ephesians chapter 2. I'm getting all confused. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read. And we're going to pick up our story in the well-known verses 8 and 9 and 10. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and consequently, the flood came, but it didn't destroy him. So the question is, can we find grace in the eyes of the Lord? And Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." The Lord Jesus Christ, you remember, came and died. And he rose again. And we're told repeatedly, including by the verse that's behind me, that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. And the grace that God showed by dying for us on the cross, that particular grace becomes available to us if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the question is, what do we have to do? God gives the grace. What do? And the answer is, we believe what he did. We exercise faith. He gives grace. We say, respond. I believe. I want it. We used to have the illustration when we were children and we had some meetings downstairs. The preacher would often say, "I'm prepared to give this 50-cent piece to any boy who would like to come and get it." And after a while, some boy would get up enough nerve and he'd walk up and he'd get the 50-cent piece. The grace says, "I'll give it." Faith says, "I want it." Some people say yes. Some people say, "I'd like it, but I won't come." Some people have all kinds of other. Some people say, "I'll come later." But God's plan is that the grace of God is yours. If you'll take it by faith, you've got to come and get it. And so we read the verse that says, God said to Noah, "You come into the ark." And then after that, I guess I better, just to prove the point of faith, I wanted to turn you to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, just for one moment. Hebrews chapter 11. And it simply says in verse 11:7 says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." The reason that Noah got the blessing of God, the grace of God, was that he had faith and he believed God. And then after that, he went on and rebuilt the world, and the Christian goes on and he lives a Christian life. So very simple movement there. The three things: the grace of God, the faith of man, and the reaction to that, the work of God that God calls us to. So back now to the book of Genesis chapter 6, and just look again at the principle of Noah. First of all, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God said, "Noah, you can go into the ark." Prior to that, he proved that he believed God by preparing the ark. He did a lot of things that showed he believed God, but the key was he had to go into the ark. And it's interesting that God didn't say, "Noah, look over on the western sky. Can you see all those clouds? You get into the ark, because pretty soon it's going to rain." That was a similar story that Elijah had. Elijah looked at the same set of circumstances, and he could see the clouds coming. And so he went to King Ahab, and he said, you better get back to your castle, because it's going to rain soon." But God called Noah into the ark, chapter 7, verse 1. "The Lord said unto Noah, come thou, and all thy house into the ark." And he said in verse 4, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth." So the question regarding faith is this. Would you take action to do what God told you to do 7 days in advance? I know a lot of people who say, I want to go to heaven. The old line is, I do want to go to heaven, but I just don't want to go right now. A lot of people say, I'd like to go to heaven, but later. Got a few things I got to do this afternoon. Got some plans for next week. Actually, got a few plans for next year, too. But one day, yes, I want to go to heaven. God says, Noah, you come into the ark. And 7 days from now, it's going to start to rain. And Noah could have said, well, that's a good idea, Lord, but we got a barbecue planned for tomorrow night, you know. So could I come in 5 days from now? And Noah went in. Very interesting that when Noah went in, see if I can find the verse here. Chapter 7, again, verse 15. And they went in unto Noah, into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female, of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. So they went into the ark on the seventh day. Said that 7 days before the flood. What happened after they got into the ark? The Lord shut the door. So what happened after that? Well, I know I said I'd like to go for a walk. I want to go to that barbecue. And he went to the door, and he couldn't open it. He says, I even made this door and I can't open it because God had shut him in. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's a certainty to it. There's a finality to it. And a lot of people say, well, I'm just not really sure. I don't know if I'd like to commit myself all that much to God. And so the issue is, what about those 7 days? Do you think that when Noah was in the ark for those 7 days, he said, oh, made a big mistake. There's all kinds of things we could have been doing. Or do you think maybe he said, I'm not sure what God is going to do. He says it's going to start raining in a few days. I'm just going to wait. There's a parallel story. It's the story of Rahab, the harlot. And we read about it in Joshua chapters 1, 2, and 3, I think. And the story is that the Lord, I guess it's other chapters in Joshua as well. The Lord said to Rahab, if you stay in this house, then when the Israel armies surround the house and surround the city, and when they conquer the city, if you stay in this house, you can be saved. You will be saved. Very similar. What happened on that occasion? Well, the Lord said, Rahab actually said, Lord, it's not just me. I want my family, my mother, my brother, my sisters, my family. I'd like us all to be in the house. And so you can imagine that a few days later, whenever it was, the armies of Israel start marching toward Jericho. What do you think happened? I think the people all said, here they come. And I think they ran to Rahab's house. And the Israel army came and marched all the way around the city of Jericho and then went home again. And I think a lot of people in the city, in the house, said, you know, it's kind of cramped in here. There's a lot of things going on outside. And the next day the army came and marched around. And the next day the army came and marched around. And the next day the army came and marched around. Now here's my question for you. Do you think that there were any who were in that house that decided they'd not necessarily have to stay in the house this particular time because it went round and round and round and round and round and nothing happened anyway? And I think some of the people who knew the story and knew the promise and loved Rahab and on and on and on, but I think some of them said, I don't have to be there today. And around they came the seventh day, and they marched seven times. And I think a lot of them were standing on the wall laughing at these crazy Jews. All they do is march around the city and march around the city and march around. And then all of a sudden, the trumpets blew, and the shout went out, and the walls came tumbling down, and the army came running in. And I don't think that all of Rahab's family were in the house. I think that they said, it probably won't happen today. I'll be there tomorrow. So, our story. Noah. He goes into the ark, and he gets in the ark, and he is there for a long time because the Lord had shut him in. What's going to happen to us? Answer, the Lord says, one day there's going to be judgment in this world. The great tribulation is coming. I alluded to it earlier. It's not going to be a time of judgment by water. It's going to be a time of judgment by fire. It's going to be a terrible time of judgment. It's called the tribulation period. And we read about it a lot in Scripture. I'm just going to give you one verse now. I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. And we'll just read a little bit about this day of judgment that's coming. Daniel chapter 12. If you have trouble finding Daniel, it's after Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is just a little bit easier to find. Daniel chapter 12. And this is what it says in verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which shall standeth before the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people, Israel, shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And then the Lord says to him in verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall be increased. Daniel is told there's going to be a time of great tribulation, but you seal that judgment because it's not going to come yet. But when you get to the book of Revelation, chapter 5, you find that the seals are prepared to be opened. And you go from there in chapter 6 and on, and the seals are open and the judgments come, and it's trouble, 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 trouble. So, what's the prophetic picture? The Lord says to us that we continue until such time as the end, and when the end comes, the first thing that's going to happen is that God is going to take the Christians up in the rapture. We read all about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We get to go to heaven. Direct. Marvelous. Not sure how it's going to happen. There's going to be a shout, we're told, in 1 Thessalonians 4. And the dead in Christ are going to rise, and those of us who are Christians alive, we're all going to rise, and we're all going to go up. Just as when the rains came, the floods caused that caused the ark to rise above the judgment. The judgment was all down below, but first thing was that they went up and the judgment came below. So that's the picture in the New Testament, that the Lord Jesus gives the rapture, and following that is going to come the tribulation, and the trouble will be on the earth, and the Christian gets to go to heaven in the rapture. And that's a very pleasant thought. You read a lot about the judgments of the Lord in the Bible. Which ones of them would you like to be under? And you say, I don't want to be under the judgments of God. And you read them over and over. Have you ever noticed that there's probably more told about the judgments of God than we get about the blessings of God? More about hell. Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. Why would that be? Well, heaven's pretty easy to understand and believe. Hell is something we choose not to believe, because if we're going to flee from hell, we've got to trust the Lord now. And so I think the Lord goes out of his way to tell us more about the judgments than he does about the blessings, in order for us to realize that the judgments are real. It's easy to believe that there's going to be good blessing if you get there. But a lot of people say, well, the judgments aren't that bad. I don't have to worry about that so much. So the picture's a wonderful picture. A lot of people ask this question. If I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, what happens after that? If I become a Christian, is it possible for me to lose my salvation? If I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and then I commit a sin, does that mean that I'm going to go to hell? How could I possibly be sure that if I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, how can I have confidence that I am going to be on his side? And there are many reasons that we believe that. One is because if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are going to become his son or his daughter. That's John chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God, the sons, the daughters of God, even to them who believe on his name. If you are the son or a daughter in a family and you're a good son or a bad son, does it make any difference? Are you still a son? And it's true, I was a son of my father when I was a good boy, and I was the son of my father when I was a bad boy. If you're the son of the father, you're the son of the father. So that's one reason why we believe in the eternal security of the believer. Another reason we believe in the eternal security of the believer is that if you have eternal life, how long does it last for? If it's eternal life, how long does it last for? Forever. So if I give you, if the Lord gives you eternal life, and then he turns around and takes it away, did you have eternal life? No, it only lasted for a short while. Eternal life has got to be eternal life, or it's not eternal life. And he chose the words, we didn't. Eternal life is eternal life. Is there another reason why you might believe in the eternal security of the believer? And the answer is yes. And we read about it in the story of Noah in Genesis chapter 6. And just to remind you again, see if I can find the verse. Chapter 7 and verse 16. They that went in male and female of all flesh, and God had commanded them, and the Lord shut him in. How could Noah get out of the ark after the Lord shut the door? It's a very interesting question, isn't it? Noah says, I really do want to go to that barbecue tomorrow night. I think I'm just going to slip out. I'll be back at midnight. No, Noah, you can't get out. And if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a child of God. He gives you eternal life, and he shuts the door on you. You can't get out. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says you may end up losing an awful lot of blessings. You may lose a lot of rewards. You may get saved just as though by fire, but you can't get out once you're in. It's marvelous, absolutely marvelous. Sometimes you might do something that you're ashamed of. You say, oh dear, oh dear. And then you say, but I'm still a child of God. He saved me, and I'm going to lose some reward. I'm going to have some difficult days. There'll be some problems, but Noah couldn't get out of the ark. His wife couldn't get out of the ark. Their family couldn't get out of the ark. When God shuts you in, you can't get out. Is that good news? It's good news. What happened to Noah? A picture of the prophecy that lies ahead. He gets in the ark and he's happy there. And then the judgment comes and he goes up and the judgment comes on the world. What happens to us? We trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And the rapture comes and we all get to go to heaven. And then judgment comes on the earth. And we're up in heaven. I'm not sure. Do you think Noah had a really good vision of what was going on the earth when he was there? It's interesting. There was a window in the ark. It was up top. I think it looked up. I don't think Noah ever saw what was going on beneath him. I'm not sure that we will see all the terrors of the earth. Certainly, at that time, we're not going to be concerned about them. We're going to be doing all kinds of other wonderful things in heaven. Pictures. The Lord gives us lots of pictures in the Bible. And as we read through the Bible, we often say, Lord, this is very interesting. What does this picture mean to me? And one of the things that just really encourages me is the fact, Harold, you can tell people that they can trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And they can get saved. And they can become part of the family of God. And if they are part of the family of God, they cannot stop being part of the family. They can't get out any easier than Noah could get out of that ark. What a wonderful story. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you said, Lord, it's true. I'm a sinner. I need salvation. And frankly, I've read a little bit of the prophets in the Bible, and most of them talk about the terrible days that are coming when God must judge sin. And judge, the Lord, remember, has not forgotten the need for punishment. He has deferred his punishment. He hasn't forgotten. It's coming. There's only one hope for us, and that is by the grace of God, like Noah, we say, Lord, I believe you. And I'm prepared to go into the ark. Well, this is a simple story. Let's just drop and we'll pray, and may the Lord encourage us as we take a look at these wonderful stories in the Bible that talk about days similar to ours. Lord, thank you for the story of the flood. We marvel that it's such an amazing story, and many doubt it, but we thank you for the evidences that it's true. But we thank you for the message that it teaches. That is that it's possible to find grace in the eyes of the Lord and be delivered from the terrible judgments that must come. And so we pray, Lord, that everyone who's here this morning will say, Lord Jesus, I want to be saved. I don't want the judgments of God to come on me as the waters came on the earth or as the fire will ultimately come on this earth. I don't want that, Lord. I want to be saved. Please take me to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll continue to bless each one. Help us, Lord, to tell our friends, to tell our family, to tell all around that it's possible to find grace like Moses, like Noah did in the eyes of the Lord. And we give thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen.